possible to get local, fresh groceries delivered right to your front door. You could take up underwater basket weaving with all of that free time. Well, Instacart gives you unlimited grocery delivery for one low monthly fee. Way better than the other guys that nickel and dime you every time you use their app. Forget that one ingredient you needed to make your grandma's famous casserole. Instacart can deliver it to your front door in as little as 1 hour. You can shop multiple stores, see deals in your area to help you save money, and every item is hand-selected by shoppers based on your preferences. No more rock-hard avocados. And they'll keep your eggs safe, too. To start your 14-day free trial, follow the link in the show notes to let Instacart know that we sent you and to help support the show. Instacart, never step foot in a grocery store again.
Welcome to Transparency Talk with Nikia Prevol. I'm your host, Nikia. Now let's get transparent. Welcome back. It is episode 2, season 2. And I say this at the beginning of all my episodes. I thank you for taking the time to listen to my audio journal. I am actually thankful for the feedback that I receive, and it allows me to continue to do this, not so much for the approval aspect, because I know I'm going to say things that you're not going to agree with, and that's fine, but it allows me to do it in a way that I don't have to water it down to get my point across. I can be as transparent without being disrespectful. And I think everything is about your deliverance. It's not so much what you say, it's what how you say it. So if you're able to open up to the idea of change, you then open up the idea of not so much who you are, but who you want to become and feel comfortable in the process of doing it. And this podcast started out to be a conversation between myself and Monica, and it started to evolve. And I wanted to, and I said this in the previous episode, I wanted to find a way to honor my grandmother. As I said before, she was a pastor and she was a truth teller. But she said things in a way that you were drawn to it, like you wanted to seek more. You wanted to get as much as you could from her because she was so passionate about the things that she would talk about. So to my grandmother, Pastor Edna Dillard, may you rest in peace. I thank you so much for your wisdom. I thank you for sharing your gift with me. I would watch my grandmother walk into a room, and she would walk in with so much confidence and so much strength. She would walk tall in heels and never miss a beat. And when she got up there to preach, it was like a transformation, because you started to feel her energy. You started to feel her presence. And even after she was gone, you still felt it. And that's something that I will always, always admire about her. She gave so much, but wanted so little. And it's funny because she said to me one day, she said, either you're going to be a lawyer or you're going to be a pastor. And I said, why do you say that? She said, because a pastor, when people come to them, they can't repeat what they hear. A lawyer, when people come to them, they cannot repeat what they hear. People come to you because you have a listening ear. And people come to you with the hope of you giving them some type of guidance. And that's turned full circle, because that's exactly where my life is right now. People do confide in me, and I do give, you know, as transparent as I can be, I give them the advice that I think they should go with. Whether or not they take it or not, that is up to them. So even though I typically give my flowers to those that are here, I think today I'm going to give my flowers to my grandmother. I feel sometimes I channel her when I do these episodes, because I want to be able to make sure I am giving you my all. And it's not easy to get up here and to speak without the concern of judgment. And I leave that worry at the door. Either you're going to like me or you're not. There's millions of podcasts out there. So this episode or this podcast is not going to be the same as everyone else that has a social and culture podcast. And that's fine. There's varieties. And if you are able to accept that, then you're good. So I deliver my flowers today to my grandmother, Edna Dillard. I thank you for everything that you have done and your legacy. I thank you for your vision. I thank you for teaching me how to stand tall when I feel as though the walls are caving in on me at times. I thank you for teaching me how to go to God first. And by doing that, you've allowed me to put in the work to be a better person. So, that was a tough one. So thank you to my grandmother. And with that being said, let's get transparent. I initially had this one topic ready to go. And then I had a conversation with one of my girlfriends last week. And now I think I'm going to go in another direction. So today's topic is after we say I do. And those that know, Rudy and I have been married for 9 years. The way we got married may not be ideal to everyone, and that's fine, because now we've been together for 9 years, so your opinion really doesn't matter at this point. So the point that I'm making is we got married after 23 days. We didn't have a big wedding. We went to the Justice of the Peace, and after we said I do, what happens? That's when the real work happens. I think sometimes people can confuse wedding and marriage. They're not the same thing. A wedding is that day. You say I do, and you move on. You cut the cake, you dance on the dance floor, you party with your friends, and then the marriage starts. I am finding that people are more focused on the wedding than the marriage, because they are so engaged with the idea of having this big wedding. They want to spend all this money because they want to show it off to the world that they're getting married. Which, not knocking anyone that has a big wedding, because they're beautiful, expensive, but they're beautiful. But then what happens after you say I do? And I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the planning of the wedding. So if you're planning your wedding, you're typically doing it a year and year or 2 years in advance. You're doing the planning. You spend all your time and energy planning the wedding, but you're not preparing yourself for marriage. And then what ends up happening is, once there's no more planning, there's no more, oh, I got to meet the caterer, or I got to go for a dress fitting. Now it's just you and him. Show's over. What do you do? And then the expectation of what your husband has as you being his wife comes into effect. But you guys have never had the conversation of what, you know, I look for in a husband or what I look for in a wife. You just heard, will you marry me? And the planning started. It's a huge responsibility to be married. And marriage is not just a piece of paper, contrary to what some people say. A piece of paper is a deed. A piece of paper is a car note. A piece of paper is me going to my checking account and looking at my statement. That's a piece of paper. That's something that I throw out. Marriage is a commitment. Marriage is not just we walking around wearing rings and saying, that's my husband and that's my wife. Because behind closed doors, we still got to do the work. Marriage is a responsibility, not just for yourself, but for your mate. But we lose so much of the understanding of what a marriage is because we're so focused on making sure we have the right cake and the right dress. You don't do the work in making sure that you are equipped, not with a dress, but with the integrity and the responsibility of being a wife. The first year, you go around telling everyone, that's my husband. Every conversation you have, yeah, my husband told me, or my husband and I went out, or let me tell you what my husband did. You do it because you're just happy that you're now married. I get it, because I did it. But then the responsibility of you being a wife is not coming home and disrespecting your husband. It's not for show and tell. You're only good when we out in the streets to say we're married. And then when we're home, you treat him like crap or he treats you like crap. You have to start understanding that marriage is not one size fits all. And I wish that I can go in and say they need to add to the vows some assembly required. Because I think sometimes people think that marriage is easy, that you're going to go into this marriage and everything is going to be perfect. You're not going to get into an argument. And if you do, it's going to be over before the next commercial break. Not happening. It's work. It's a choice to be married, but it's work. I thank God for Monica because when Rudy and I first got married, I had no idea. I would see resemblance of what a marriage looked like, but the work that it took to get there, I didn't know. And she would counsel me because the first year was the hardest year. And I don't care if you've been married or you knew that person for 10 years, you do know when you say I do, the clock restarts. So now you're back to day one. So I don't care if you've been with that person for 20 years and then you say, tomorrow we're getting married, the clock restarts. Because you cannot say, yeah, we've been together for 20 years, but we've been married for a year. So they're going to say, oh, so you've been married for a year. No, we've been together for 20 years. But the responsibility for that person did not happen until you said, I do. And I know people that rush into getting married because they want to have that status. All the other friends are getting married and they want to be a part of that club. But I'm going to tell you, this club is exclusive. And marriage is not for the weak because it tests your patience. It tests your commitment. And at some point, you might fail. But if you have a partner who's able to see that, okay, this is her weakness, so we're going to pull each other together and make this a strength. You have to be able to balance each other out. It's not enough to walk around with a 5-carat ring. Who cares? If your husband is disrespectful or your wife is disrespectful, that ring is just as flawed as it want to be. because you're putting a materialistic value on your marriage. Marriage is not going to be easy. And that's why I say it's not just a piece of paper. You crumple up a paper, you throw it in the garbage. Marriage, you got to stick into it. And you have to work. And every day you have to become a better wife and a better husband than you were the day before. Because as you evolve, your marriage evolves. You will not be that same person that you were a year ago. So your marriage now changes to fit where you and your husband are at that point. But if you were just into having a wedding, you're going to start to see the breadcrumbs that will lead to disaster. Because you were so focused on the material, you didn't focus on the emotional. It's not enough to be able to say, I'm married. Are you committed to your marriage? How committed are you to the marriage? Divorce is never an option for Rudy and I. Because I feel as though if we've committed before God, regardless if it was at a church or a courthouse, we went before God and said we were committed to each other. For better or for worse. Not for better or until you get on my nerves. I think when you add the option of divorce and you put that option out there, you are now saying that if it doesn't work out within the next 6 months, I have an option to get out. You're not taking marriage serious if that's your option. No one, I don't know anyone that would tell you marriage is easy. It has its good and it has its bad. How you come out of the bad determines the outcome of your marriage. If you're strong in knowing that this marriage is worth fighting for, you come out of it a better person. And not as an individual, but as a couple. But remember what I said in I Am Not Your Source. If you go into this marriage looking for your husband to complete you, your marriage is going to fail. Why? Because he is going to fail at meeting you at an expectation that he's never going to reach. The same way I was mentioning broken can't fix broken. If you have two broken people, and they're not willing to do the work in healing, that marriage is not going to work. So you have to be careful when you're saying, I want to be married. Because marriage is not for the weak. I watched my grandparents, who, by the way, married, divorced, and then married each other again. And I think that happened because my grandmother said to him, you are not going to go around town and not have responsibility for this household and a responsibility to me. And at the time, my grandfather was like, look, I'm going to do what I want to do. And she let him do it. And then a situation happened and my grandfather got sick. And the only person that would come to his aid was my grandmother. His strength. And when he saw my grandmother's strength, a level of respect for her came. And he realized that his life meant nothing without her. He was weak without her. So you have to start making sure you're not getting married just for the sake of saying I'm married. Oh, I'm 44, I got to get married. Oh, I'm 33, I got to be married. There is no timeline. And if you take that timeline away, you can now put yourself in a position where you're just living life. I think we put this, I don't know where this idea came from, by 22 you need to be married. There's no way in hell at 22 I knew what I wanted to, that I would be able to be in a marriage. I'm just getting out my mother's house at this point. And now I'm going to take on the responsibility of a household at 22 and know how to run it efficiently? Hell no. At 22? No. Then you get into your 30s. You're still trying to figure it out. You're still trying to figure out life. I'm not knocking those that get married at 21, 22. That's what you want to do. God bless you. But you have to know yourself before you can go into a marriage. What am I capable of doing and what can I bring to this marriage? So as you're preparing for the wedding, remember that marriage starts day one. Day one. Your responsibility to that man or to that woman starts day one. And I've seen people get into a marriage and I wish they didn't get married. Because the immaturity that comes with the dialogue, you're not ready for marriage. There's no way. And you can't give someone an ultimatum. Well, we've been together for 15 years, and I think we should be married by now. Well, if he wants to marry you, he will. And giving him an ultimatum is just saying, this is what you want. That's not what he wants. Well, he married me. Yeah, because you pretty much told him if he didn't marry you, you were gone. So now he has to work his way into the idea of marrying you. And I don't know if I want to marry someone that I had to give an ultimatum to. You should want to marry me. You should want for me to be your wife. The same way if you see me good enough to be the mother of your child, I'm good enough to be the woman that carries your last name. And there's no one without the other. You have to start being careful with the choices that you make. You are making a choice to spend your life with this man or this woman. But are you prepared for the responsibility? It's not enough to just go around telling people, yeah, I'm married. Okay, congratulations. But are you happily married? There's a difference. The more you speak, the more you need to understand your words carry weight. So when you put it out there that I'm married and someone says to you, are you happy? And you have to think about it. Or when you call your girlfriends and you start crying about how he doesn't treat you right. There's nothing they can say. You chose to marry this man. Again, it's a choice. And it takes a lot of work. I look at my mom, and she's been with my dad for, what, almost 30 years. Every day, they have to figure it out. Even at 30 years. Yeah, they may know each other's rhythms, and they know, you know, buttons to push and what buttons not to push. But you still have to work on it. Even though Rudy and I are still, I say we're still in our infant stage of marriage. 9 years, you know, next year it'll be 10 years, which is great. But that was work. And it continues to be work because I want it to work and he wants it to work. But if the scales are unbalanced and you have one person wanting it more than the other person, you really have to think, did they feel that way before you got married? Did you kept pushing the issue about getting married and they were very nonchalant, like, all right, if that's what you want to do. And I'm going to tell you this, A man knows within the first year whether or not he wants to marry you or not. Doesn't take him 20 years, and it does not take him 7 years. He knows within the first year. And if within the first year he doesn't ask you, he does not see you as being his wife. So then you start bringing up or putting situations to enhance the ability for him to marry you. We gonna have a kid. If he doesn't want to marry you, having a kid is not going to make him do it. Be careful. Stop tossing things into the ring and hoping that it'll stick. And that's what we do. We throw it out there and see what happens. But you have to understand, when you do that, you are now saying to this man, I am ready, I am responsible, and I am prepared to be the wife, not so much you want, but you deserve. But can he be that husband that you deserve? There are telltale signs all over. Sometimes we choose to ignore it because we want what we want when we want it. But at what cost? I know someone that met someone online. Nothing wrong with that, because I met Rudy online, even though I knew him already. I know someone that met someone online, and the guy seemed nice. She was an okay person. Nasty ass attitude, but she was an okay person. And they had this big wedding. They had a destination wedding. Came back. She got pregnant. I want to say 3 years later, they're gone. They're divorced. Because she fell in love with the idea of a marriage. I'm sorry, a wedding. I'm going to have a destination wedding. I'm going to have all my friends and family. I'm going to have all these pictures. And I'm going to spend all the money. No expenses. Out of date. Whatever you want, that's what we're going to do. 3 years later, they're divorced. And she's blaming him. You cannot blame him. This is a situation that you set up. Well, I told him from the beginning that I wanted to get married. Okay. That's what you wanted. If that's not what he wants, he's not going to do it. And if he does, it's going to be half-assed when he does it. He's not going to give you the time. He's not going to put the work in. And he damn sure doesn't care whether or not you tell him you leaving. He doesn't care. This is what you wanted. So he's going to let it play out to what you wanted. If you want a true marriage and a happy marriage, you have to do the work from within. Examine yourself. Look at yourself and say, am I even in a position to be a wife right now? Or in a position to be a husband? And if you're not, don't bring up the topic. Because if you're looking for the other person to validate that feeling, that person might be ready, but you're not. And that's why they haven't asked you, because they know you're not. So be careful. And please, don't stick around for 10 years or 20 years waiting for that ring. He knows within the first year if he wants to marry you. He knows. It's not about the job, about how much money he gonna have, so that way he gets you the ring. Put the ring on layaway if you really want it that bad. He knows. He knows within himself he is not ready to be a husband. But you, if you're going to keep pushing the issue, eventually he's going to give in because he's sick of hearing your mouth. Be careful what the end result is, though. Be careful. Be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get it and you may not be ready for it. That's my time. As you can see, marriage is a very touchy subject for me. But I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for allowing me to share my audio journal. You can find Transparency Talk on Instagram at transparency_talk. And continue with the comments. Continue with the DMs, because I definitely appreciate it. I think next week's topic is going to be one that we are really going to have to dig into. And I'm going to bring it at this point. I'm not holding back. Let me put it that way. So again, I thank you for tuning in. As always, until next Tuesday.